Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How Should a Christian Woman Treat Her Husband?
Last week, we looked at how a Christian husband should treat his wife. This week, I'd like to look with you at how a Christian woman should treat her husband. How should she be toward him? How should she have her heart set towards him? What should she say? What should she do? How should a Christian woman treat her husband? Now, when I spoke last week to the men, I said this message is exclusively for the men. Now this week it's exclusively for the women. But I have a word first for the men, is that your wife's ability to treat you as a Christian wife should treat her husband is largely dependent upon you doing your job to treat her well as your wife. You need to be the true hero to her true love, as I said last week. If you don't do that, it's going to make this very challenging for her. It's still her calling, but it'd be very difficult. But if you treat her with that high honor, true love's love, like we talked about last week, it is going to be joyful, easy, and a delight to her to be the great Christian wife to you. So the first word is to the men, treat her right. Now, we're going to speak specifically to the women. How should you, as a Christian woman, treat your husband? What's God say to you of that? Well, the first thing he would say to you is that you need to be wary of and divest yourself from the teachings of the world on this matter. Because the world's going to teach you wrong about marriage and how to be a woman and a wife to your husband. They haven't got a clue. They're just disaster on wheels. All they do is create trouble by their teachings. For on the one hand, you have the teaching out there in the world today that says, women, you shouldn't be women, you should be men. Be assertive, fighters, rule your husbands, command them well. As the great feminist cry is, I am woman, hear me roar. You've heard that one, right? So that's not going to work. That's not what God calls you to in his word. But secondly, they might say, well, be a woman, but just be a woman in this way. Just be a good-looking beauty, eye candy, be charm on wheels. I mean, just let that be what it is to be a woman. But that is a recipe for disaster, too. Now, you are beautiful, and you are charming. But what does God tell us in his word in Proverbs 31? He says, charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So, you're to go after being women of faith, Christian women towards your husband. So how should a Christian woman then treat her husband? What's God say to you of that? Well, the very first thing he says to you in his word, the very first thing he says about woman in the scriptures, in God's word, is this. Genesis 2, speaking of you, he says, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. So the first description of you is a helper. Now that word in the Hebrew is azer. You need to be an azer to your husband, which means helper, an assistant, a companion to him, because it's not good for him to be alone. Is that a weak word? Actually, the word also means in the dictionary a strength. So God says, I created you to be a strength to your man. It means one who comes alongside to give power to complete the task or the mission. So the man needs a strength to be given to him, the woman, a helper, power to assist him to complete his task that God's given him as a Christian man before God. And so isn't that great that God calls you the very first word, a strength to him. That's what God calls you to, that he then, by your strength, can become all the man that God created him to be. What a great word. So how can you, though, be a strength to your man? How can you bless him and be a helper and help him to complete his task, and you two together as a team complete his task? The number one thing God says, one of them in the scriptures, is to be faithful to him, cling to your husband, cleave to him only as your one true love all your life and with your body. Because we read here, of course, in Genesis 2, once again, when God created you, made you from the man, he, remember, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And in the sleep, he took a rib from his side out of the man's body, and from that rib he made a woman. And he brought her to the man. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You know, she came out of man, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So you are from his flesh, and therefore he brings you together to cleave in flesh to him with your body. How do you bless your man with your body? Well, you follow him where he goes. You cling to him and cleave to him through life. You're one flesh. You have a tender touch. Women have a special touch that is lost on us men who slap each other around. Your touch just is electrifying to the man to strengthen him, and most especially also in intimacy, physically. God even says this to the men and then to the women. I'll read it that way from Proverbs 5:19. Let your affection fill him at all times with delight, that he be ravished always with your love. So you are to be a true princess to your one true prince. Bless him in all these ways, and bless him physically too. Do you know that in the scriptures, or just actually looking at life, your man is like a knight, okay? He's out fighting his battles outside the castle in the world. And he's fighting to provide for you, to protect the home, to defend you, the children. And his day's battles are really quite weary. You know, the world is a wearisome place. It's fierce. He has many dragons to fight, many beasts to overcome, hard passage through difficult terrain, a hard and lonely road, wearisome. And you know what? Life without women, for men, would be a great, wearisome, dreary, grim place to be. But you can delight him by your presence, by your touch, and by the intimacy he has with you, for which you were created to be together as man and wife. In that same passage in Proverbs 4, he says, you are to be like a lovely deer and a graceful doe to him, and like a pool of water where he's refreshed. Is that how you are, O women, to your man? And men, is that how your wife is to you? You know, it's as if we're passing through a dark, shadowy land, and there is a light, a shining city, a woman, a fire, where you come and warm, and her light gives you joy. Woman, may your prince find joy in this world through you, and you find joy in his arms. This is God's will for you. And I can tell you, with Beth in my life, apart from her, what a troubled, wearied world this would be. But when she's around, all the world seems to sing, and the birds are chirping and all things are great. Her presence, her physical presence, is a strength to me. And may you also be so to your husbands. Now, secondly, God says you're to bless him, to strengthen him, not only in body, but especially with your heart and soul. I got to just say, women, you have superpowers. I don't know how you do it, but you have superpowers to tune and inspire your man with strength like we never could have without you, to be sure, to make his heart sing. We read this in the scriptures about you. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A blessing and a strength from God are you to him. And a good wife is the crown of her husband. And a good wife who can find, she's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He'll have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. You have really special superpower gifts to tune and make the heart of your husband sing, and to bring out, watch this, the manhood that is in him by your powers of persuasion, your powers of prayer, your tuning of the man's heart, your seeing of his needs, your quieting his fears, your empowering his courage, your inspiring him to go in the way of Christ. I got a little secret to share with you women, and I think you know it, although we men are loath to admit it, but we are not always feeling as manly in this world as we wish. We always wish that we could be like the Hollywood movie stars, or like some swashbuckling hero, or King Arthur, going forth with Excalibur, all virile manhood at all times. But you know what? A lot of times, life gets us down. We feel that we failed as men, and we feel like the court jester instead, a fool. It's at that time you women come in, and you somehow bring out the manhood in us again, causing it to stir, and you become strength for us so that we can go out and be men again for the world, knights in shining armor for our king and for you. You have such superpowers, you can even turn unchristian men into Christian men. Did you know that? Let me show you the story. When I used to sail schooners up in Maine, there's a place there called Swan's Island off the coast, and it's basically an isolated island full of lobstermen. All the men are lobstermen. And in the older days, that place was just a horrible place to go. No schooners would sail there because the men were just vulgar drunkards and mean-spirited pirates. They would come out and harass any schooner that came there, and hardly one would dare to visit the island. Well, it got so bad with these pirates that the women of the island one day got together while their men were out lobstering, and they had a town meeting. All the women agreed, and when the men came home that evening from the sea, they all received an ultimatum from their wives. They said, either you give up the alcohol and get Christianity, or every woman on the island's leaving together as one. Well, I have sailed to Swan's Island in my days, and I will tell you that when you sail in there today, the lobster boats are called Bread of Life, Prince of Peace, and Wings of the Morning from Psalm 139. It's true. I've seen it with my own eyes. Those are real names of lobster boats there. They turn them into super Christians, and they're actually extremely kind and gracious men. That's the power of a woman, even with an unchristian pirate. How much more with a Christian man who's seeking the Lord, that you can make his heart sing? Your job, women, God says, is to make him shine. Make him be all the man that I, God, created him to be. To help him, therefore, to conquer and obtain his mission's goal. So how can you help your man to be a man? Who am I to tell you? You guys already know better than I, but I'll tell you what the Word says as well, which is the super wisdom. God says, here's the way to do it, and this is point number three. Submit to your husband as your prince, as your protector, as your provider. Acknowledge him as your head and authority. And this will not only be right because it's God's order, but it will cause manhood to spring up in your man like you wouldn't believe. We read this in Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Again, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Peter says in his third chapter of his first letter, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that some, though they don't obey the word, may be won without a word, but the behavior of their wives when they see your reverent and chaste behavior. You can win the man and cause true manhood to rise in him when you submit. Now, does this fly in the face of the world's teaching today or not? What does feminism say? I am woman, hear me roar. I will not submit. Submit what? Me to a man? Never. I'm the captain. I will captain this ship. Thank you. But that doesn't work. Why? Because it does not go along with God's order. He didn't create you the captain. He created you as the first mate, which has its honor in itself. What is it? Ultimately, according to the word, is mutiny. And it just plain doesn't work. Because you're going to evoke two responses from your man there. Not only is the ship in this order, but your man is going to have to respond in two ways if he's a captain. Either he's going to have to use force and suppress the mutiny, which would not be pretty. That would hurt you. But if he's like most Christian guys, a super nice guy, it doesn't want to hurt you, then what you're going to do by taking command and asserting yourself as captain is he is going to retreat into his cabin, sulk, and be a snail withdrawing into his shell, and he'll leave the captaincy and leave it to you, for which you're not called, and so the ship will really be without his captaining skills, and you're going to be in a terrible mess and wreck the ship. So you don't want him shrinking into a corner. That's not what God calls you to do, but rather to inspire him as your captain, not to crush him, but to inspire him all the more to be the bold, adventurous, daring swashbuckler that you dreamed of marrying in the first place anyway. Think about this. The word submit in the Greek is hupotasso, which means to place yourself under, to submit or obey. It's actually a Greek military term where you're arranging troops in military fashion under a commander, in this case, a captain. If you keep the order on the ship and acknowledge him with that, you're inspiring him to be the man, you are going to together as a team sail to victory. For I'll tell you, when Beth and I were not even engaged yet, still dating, and I was about to go to sea for 4 months or so, she took me aside before I left. She said, I don't know if you're asking me to marry you or not one day, but I just want to let you know that if you ever do, I do believe in a woman submitting to her husband, and I would do that for you. And I'm like from liberal New England. I'd never heard such a thing before. I was like, what? You really believe that? Yes, I do. But you know, when I heard that from her, something stirred inside of me, seriously, that it caused manhood to spring up. Like, I want to be the hero for this woman because this is a woman of strength and character like I've never seen before. It's easy to rule. Submitting is strength. Christ submitted to God. Man submits to Christ. A woman submitting to her husband. That is power. And I was like, this is a woman like none other. I want to be a hero for her. You'll cause the man in him to spring up and spark up and become the man that you really wish to marry in the first place anyway. So submit, God says. And you'll bless him with strength and be a great team. Fourthly, God says, as the first mate on the ship, counsel him with your wisdom and your insight. For Proverbs 19:14 says, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A wise woman. She gives good advice. Remember David and the girl he was to marry, Abigail. She stopped David from killing Nabal and slaughtering all his people. David said to her, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to me this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion. Blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from avenging myself with my own hand. He praised her wisdom and her counsel. Men, if you're going to be good captains, listen to your wife's advice. Weigh it as to whether it is godly and righteous. And if it is good, go for it. Men and women see things differently. The man being the captain is often charting the course and looking into the distance, into the horizon. We see great as to where our family maybe should go long off. But the woman sees better as first mate what the ship needs right now, which the captain might miss. So you share your insights, and between the two of you, you have 20/20 vision. But alone, you each have shortcomings and strengths. I know, like, Beth counsels me as a pastor here. And she says, oh, by the way, how is such and such a person doing? Have you checked on this person yet? I'm like, I'm sorry, I've been focusing on the sermon. You're right. I need to go check this person out. She helps me see. Good insight. She also tells me, like in our dream team, you know, people are not sometimes getting here because they don't have rides. Let's get rides for them. Yeah, great idea. I didn't see that. Fantastic. Good idea. Or I'm going to church, and I'm all dressed thinking I look spiffy, and she says, you can't wear that. You got mustard all over you. You're right, honey. Thanks. I didn't make a fool of myself. You women are amazing counselors. You use the wisdom God's given you. And if men, you be good captains, listen and weigh her words and see the things that you've missed. She's helping you out. What she's doing is being a strength for you. First mate, great team with the captain. And fifthly, as first mate, what is your job on the ship? It's to watch after the ship. The captain to watch after where the ship is going. In other words, if you are a princess and your husband is the prince out fighting in the field, keep the castle. Watch after the home. Again, the world is like, no way. I'm a woman. I'm not going to do that. But that's what God says. Titus 2:5. Be domestic. Hoikouros. Keeper of the home. One who looks after the domestic affairs with prudence. Tend the castle with care. 1 Timothy 5:14. You're a hoikadespoteo. Sound despot in there? A master and commander? Do you want to be a Russell Crowe character? Of your house. Watch after the ship. Keep the castle. For you are the great defense team. She looks well to the ways of her household. Doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household, tasks for her maidens. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come with great courage. So you have super strength to care for the castle, to be on the defense. Now, in a sport team, like let's say football, who gets the glory? It seems like it's always the offense, right? We get to score the touchdowns and everybody cheers. But if you have a team that only has offense but no defense, game over, you lose. The defense is as valuable, if not more valuable, than the offense. If you have a great defense and your goal is guarded, women guarding the home, keeping the castle, the man can even not be very good at offense, but you still win because your goal is guarded. But if the goal is left open and both go on the offense, as happens in many places today in the world, and you leave your goal untended, game over, you've already lost. The devil's captured your castle, you lose. There's no place to retreat to. So that doesn't mean you can't go out and work. If the castle is kept first and is in good order, yeah, go get your trade from afar. That's in Proverbs 31 as well. But be the great defense. You're a team that is a winning team. You have a great defense and a great offense. Together, the team wins. Without you, there is no strength for the team, and the man will lose. With you, he will win. So keep the castle. Number 6. God says, when you keep the castle, as the first mate, keeping the ship, keeping that castle, keep it bright. May it be a place he's happy to come home to with good cheer. You know, a lot of women don't do this. I know it's hard. You got a super difficult day, right? You want to complain when he gets home. Some women nag or quarrel. He comes home from fighting in the field, and he's got another battle in his own house, in his own castle. That's not the way to go. Reminds me of the Beverly Hillbillies. You ever see that show? Remember the Beverly Hillbillies with Judd Clampett? At one point, he's meeting another millionaire who's an Arab sheikh who has 300 wives. And they're being interviewed by the news. And the news guy says, well, what do you think, Judd, about this Arab sheikh having 300 wives? And he and his hillbilly way says, well, I expect a man with that many wives could expect to come home and find at least one in a good mood. You know what the Bible says? It's better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. So don't nag him. I mean, you share your troubles too. I get it. Beth shares hers with me. I share mine with her. But give him at least a couple minutes when he gets home. May the house be good cheer, and your prince will be happy to hear what your grievances are to help you, as you also hear his, and you he He helps you, you help him. It's all great. But a cheerful heart does good medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. So be an encourager to him. May the castle be lit when he comes in from the field, slaying his dragons, and he finds it like a city shining on the hill, happy to receive him. As Luther says, let the husband be to his wife so that she's sad to see him go in the morning to work, and let the wife be towards her husband in such a way that he's glad when he comes home at night. Can't wait to get there to see you. A light and a joy and an encouragement for the morrow, to meet his cheerleader, to cheer him on. Beth always encourages me when I am facing struggles with sermons and fighting lions and bears through the week, and I feel like, I don't know if it's going to work this week. In my weakness, she comes in and laughs at the time to come with her courage, encourages me and said, Greg, you've preached for years. God's never let you down. You've fought lions and bears before and conquered them. This sermon shall be like one of them. You will conquer this Goliath as well. God will give you the victory. She's always doing that, encouraging me. And by her courage and strength, like the Holy Spirit in the flesh to me, in a sense, she is an encourager, keeping the castle lit. Thank you, Beth. Which leads to point 7. When your man screws up, we all mess up as men, forgive him. When he confesses his sins, show grace to him, because then, again, you're being like Christ to your man. May he find in you Christ blessing you with grace that, yes, indeed, you forgive him. And when you sin against him, confess your sins and let him in grace forgive you. Also, as I said last week, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Don't ever go to bed with hurt. If you go to bed unresolved, you wake up in the morning with grudges, and then out come sharp words, and you hurt each other more, and the ship goes down. But if every night you clear the airs, make clear skies, and forgive, you wake up in the morning, and it's clear blue skies, it's so much easier to love each other. So show grace to your husband. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive. And lastly, just love him always. You guys, you women know how to do this amazingly. Love binds all things together in perfect harmony. And that love of your husband will make him shine, and your city, your castle, will be like a city on a hill to shine to everyone. Bless you, bless him, bless your children. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A great team. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Christ, husband, and wife. What a team that is. You are on the winning side, and you will win. Conclusion then, I speak to you once again, men, be true princes to your women. Make this easy on her. Be heroes to her. Set her on high. Love her as Christ loves his church and gave himself for her. And women, you also love your husbands to make your men shine as the men God created them to be. And yes, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. So give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Should a Christian Woman Treat Her Husband? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. God bless you.